Let's continue reading verses 11 through 26 of John chapter 17. In these verses, we have the rest of the Lord's high priestly prayer. John 17, verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Once again, some background notes. John chapters 13 through 17 are known as the Upper Room Discourses or Farewell Discourses of our Lord. Chapter 17 is the high priestly prayer of our Lord, which follows the discourses. The prayer is primarily an intercessory prayer for the apostles and the believers who would follow the apostles, as we see in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So that certainly includes us. What an encouragement this prayer of our Lord should be for us. The Lord would have prayed this prayer out loud. Verse 13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The Lord prayed out loud so that the disciples would hear and be encouraged and have the Lord's joy fulfilled in themselves. The result of reading this prayer today by us should result in the Lord's joy being fulfilled in us. Furthermore, this intercessory prayer would be an example of the kind of intercessory prayers the Lord is making for us today. In Hebrews 7:25, we read that the Lord Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. Notice, by the way, that all of the petitions of this prayer are for spiritual blessings, not earthly honors or material blessings. Therefore, you see, this prayer should guide us as to how we should pray when we make intercessory prayers on behalf of fellow believers. Now let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points. We have four doctrinal points, and these four doctrinal points are the four prayer requests that our Lord made for his own throughout his high priestly prayer. We can be sure that the Lord's intercessory prayers for us today involve these same requests. So doctrinal point number one, the Lord's prayer is for the protection of his own. The Lord's prayer is for the protection of his own. Verse 11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Keep them, or preserve them, or protect them. From what? from the evil world system and the evil one behind the world system, namely Satan. Look at verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil or the evil one. While the Lord was here on this earth, he kept his disciples. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. But you see, now the Lord was leaving, and he prayed for their protection. They would be in the world, but not of the world. And the world would hate them because they were not of this world. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You know, that's our position today, isn't it? We are in the world, but not of the world. And because we are not of this world, the world hates us. The Lord made the same point back in John chapter 15 and verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember, the world here is not the material universe that God has created. No, it's the evil, satanic world system that is opposed to Christ. But there is protection for us from this evil world system and the evil one behind it, namely Satan, because the Lord's prayer is for the protection of his own. Doctrinal point number two, the Lord's prayer is for the sanctification of his own. The Lord's prayer is for the sanctification of his own. Verses 17 through 19, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Sanctify means to set apart for holy use. The way in which we are sanctified is by the truth embodied in the word of God. And only when we're sanctified are we effective witnesses, as we see here in verse 18. Now, what does the Lord mean in verse 19 when he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself? The Lord certainly didn't need to be sanctified. He's referring here to his going to the cross. In other words, he was voluntarily setting himself apart for that holy work of becoming the sacrifice for sin. Your sin, my sin, so that it would be possible for us to be sanctified. Verse 19 once again, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. The Lord's prayer is for the sanctification of his own. Doctrinal point number three, the Lord's prayer is for the unity of his own. The Lord's prayer is for the unity of his own. Verses 21 and 22, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. The unity of believers receives great emphasis in this high priestly prayer of our Lord. He really wants to see us unified. The idea in unity is not the idea of uniformity, where we are all the same and have no diversity. And the idea in the concept of unity that the Lord desires to see in us is not institutional union. There's no idea here of ecumenical union. The fact of the matter is we are one. The Lord's prayer has been answered. With the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the church was formed. All believers around the world are one in the Lord. But now it's our job to recognize this unity and keep that unity. Ephesians 4, verse 3 says that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why is unity so important? Look at verse 21 again. That the world may believe that you sent me. And verse 23, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. When non-Christians see the unity of believers, it's hard to explain away. It's evidence of the love of God. It's evidence of the truth about Christ. I once worked as a research engineer for a large company. My immediate boss was a dedicated non-Christian. But one thing he could not get over was the fact that throughout the company, there were these Christians at all levels in the company that had this special bond that went beyond company loyalty. There was a special love and kindness and unity about this group that he could not dismiss. This was the unity that the Lord prayed for here in John chapter 17. Unity among us is so important for our testimony. The Lord's prayer is for the unity of his own. And doctrinal point number 4, the Lord's prayer is for the joy of his own. The Lord's prayer is for the joy of his own. We already saw back in verse 13 that the Lord prayed this prayer out loud so that the disciples would be encouraged and have the Lord's joy fulfilled in them. And now here in verse 24, the Lord prays, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." The Lord wants us to be with him and share his glory with us. What joy that should give us. What joy that should give believers as they near death. And then look at verse 26. "And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them and I in them." Now that's a lot of love, isn't it? The very love that the Father had for the Son, that's available to us. That should bring us joy for sure. The Lord's prayer is for the joy of his own. What about practical application from this portion of the Lord's high priestly prayer? Are we walking the in but not of razor's edge? Are we walking the in but not of razor's edge? The Lord prayed that we would not be taken out of this world, but be left in this world, but not of this world. Now, it's not easy to practically live out this truth, to be in the world, but not of the world. It's like walking on a razor's edge. If we lean too far to the in the world direction, we become worldly, and that's unbiblical. If we lean too far in the not of this world direction, we can become closed off from the people of this world who desperately need to hear the gospel. To become a Christian hermit or live in Bible town is not biblical. You all know what I mean by live in Bible town? That hypothetical Christian community which is shut off from the world, no contact with non-Christians. It sounds nice, but it's not biblical. We are to be rubbing shoulders with non-Christians. We are to be the salt and the light in this world. We are to be in, but not of. Are we walking the in, but not of razor's edge?